Your right place is at the intersection between the roles that you play in society, the relationships that you have, and also the environment in which you operate.
I was so surprised almost, and it's the wrong word to use, but his deep knowledge of running a business. And I always think about sport as a hobby, but that is a big business these days.
If you've got knowledge that you've built up over time, and it's something that you know other people struggle with, you need to find a mechanism or a way to share that knowledge, because people will pay you for it or they will value that insight.
And I think the momentum really shifted when we got people to come to us, where people came to say, listen, I want to be on it. And they started approaching. And I realized that it's almost natural. People want to talk about what they do. They believe they can add value.
Before we start this podcast, I have one small favor to ask you. Can you please hit the subscribe button down below so that we can help more people every week? Thank you. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Right Place podcast. My name is John Watson, and this is our final episode of 2024. Joining me today is my co-pilot for this round, Rudolf Rautenbach. Rudolf, how's it going your side?
Good, John. Thanks, sir. It's always nice to chat to you. We were discussing that we haven't done this for a while, and it's so strange how quickly this year flew past and that we're all under pressure to get stuff done before we go on a bit of a summer break in South Africa. So, yeah, looking forward to this discussion and to reflect a little bit on the year we've had.
Yeah, Rudolf, it's been quite the year. This is episode number 49 of our podcast. I can't even remember it. The year 2024 has been a little bit of a blur. It seems like just yesterday we were in August, and now we're here at the end of November, which is quite crazy. It's been quite a year. We've done 49 episodes, which is incredible. I think the key's been doing it consistently. Have you been happy doing this with me, partnering on this, collaborating, and figuring out all of this as we go along?
Yeah, obviously, John. I think we work well together. We almost in sync in some cases, and we complement each other. So I think there's a lot of stuff that we've learned together in this process. I was sitting here thinking to myself that at the beginning of the year we were complete amateurs, and now we are professional amateurs. So we're still not professional in it, but we've actually learned so many different lessons in this process. And yeah, the one thing that's really stood out for me is the things that I've learned from the other people, not necessarily on the podcast and the technical side of it and how to improve our presence on it, but to just hear what other people know and what they've experienced and things that they can teach us. I think that has been one of the key things for me is just to learn from other people almost for free. It takes a bit of time, but we got a lot of lessons for ourselves in the process. And you've asked if I'm happy to do it, and if I'm excited about it, and if it's something that I would continue with. And I think it's a yes and a yes and a yes. But the real thing is that we've got this collaborative approach in that I do a bit of work, you do a bit of work, and we actually bring the two things together, and it just erases a bit of the burden that you might have by trying to do everything yourself all the time. What's your take on that?
No, absolutely, Rudolf. I couldn't agree with you more. I think it's been a fun journey. It's been a steep learning curve, not just on the production side, but learning how to ask questions, how to ask better questions, how to post about this stuff on LinkedIn and wherever else. But I think the feedback's been generally really good. I think we've definitely got some super fans out there that listen to every episode every week, even though they might not know the person from a bar of soap. But I think it's been fun. I think my life would be incomplete having not tried podcasting or putting ourselves out there a little bit more. Rudolf, we've asked everyone's favorite friend, ChatGPT, to give us some questions to help us reflect on this year. What has been the most surprising thing for you in this podcast journey?
Sure, that is a difficult one to answer, because I think in this process, I've actually grown just in terms of putting myself on the screen the whole time, talking in front of people that you can't see. But I think the most surprising part of all of it was that how keen people were to talk to us as the process grew, as we became a little bit more into it. So at the beginning, we spoke to each other every other week almost. We got a guest, and then we spoke to each other and a guest again, and we had a session. And for the last 4 or 5 months, I don't think we've had an episode where we've spoken to each other. We've always had guests, and people start talking to us. And it's not to blow a trumpet here or anything, but I think the consistency that you've mentioned plays a role in it, because people can see that this thing is continuing over a longer period of time. But also that I believe people get value out of it. And I can never really gauge why. I cannot figure out what interests other people or so on, because every episode, every recording is rather unique. But what surprised me the most was how keen people were to take part, how people just bought into this concept. And I enjoyed it so much, but I do believe for that reason, other people got value out of it, and that actually makes me very happy. That to me is the thing that surprised me most, is that buy-in from people that I even don't know.
No, that's actually a great answer, Rudolf, because I mean, we've been approached, I mean, just recently at the Suits and Sneakers main event, people were coming up to us and saying, oh, here you're the podcast guys, or I saw this episode, and we haven't even met the person, or we might have only connected on LinkedIn, but it's obviously a different meeting in person. And I think that's been actually quite cool. So you have no idea who's watching the episodes. You have no idea always what it means to them. Obviously, not everyone's going to comment or like or subscribe or share or anything like that. But I think every episode has added its own value, even if it's just to the person doing it. I mean, we've had quite a few people that this is their first podcast experience. So we're making our first podcast season, and these people are appearing on a podcast for the first time as well. So I think we've broken that barrier as well. And I think that's been good. So it's been fun to learn from the people and what stood out for them. And I think because you and I listen to quite a few podcasts, I think the main takeaway is sometimes something so small, or it's a throwaway comment, or it's just one idea, but you've listened to a podcast for 30 or 40 minutes, but there's one thing that sticks out, or there's one part or one question that makes you think about life differently. And I think that's the value of podcasts. It's not necessarily all 40 minutes is adding value. Sometimes there is a bit of stories that don't resonate with you, but there should always be at least one thing that pops out.
And I think also the fact that you bring people to the table, and then I listened to those recordings. I wasn't part of the episode. I wasn't in the room. I wasn't available. I wasn't planned to be part. But I learned things from people that you know. And I think that is almost like listening to another podcast, even though I'm part of the right place. But I am not part of that specific episode. And there's a lot of value in some of those conversations, even though I wasn't part of it. And that assisted me in business. It assisted me in life. And I think the variation of the different types of people that were part of it as well made us grow in different aspects of our lives. I want to quickly go back to the beginning, John. And I mean, you approached me, I think, October, November, maybe last year. And we discussed maybe doing a podcast and so on. And we had a very shocking recording, I think, at a Psyche event in person live that we never used because there was too much background noise. But if you think back to that stage, what is the one big thing that you believe actually shifted this so that you say, listen, we need to continue with this? When we just started, it was this side project almost, this thing that we thought, oh, that this could be cool. And now it's almost part of our DNA, part of the processes that we are driving. So what shifted that gear for you during the year?
I think what shifted the gear for me is knowing that not everyone has everything figured out. So people are still looking for their right place. And you and I are still looking for our right place. And I think the podcast has helped with that. But I think just talking to those first guests about their journey and seeing, hey, this person went through something. They studied to do this and ended up in a career doing this. And then they did a big change to this other thing. So it's okay to jump all over the place. It's okay to figure things out. It's okay to say no to opportunities and rather go there. And I think that's been inspiring because a lot of people that are visible like you and I think there's a perception that we've got everything figured out. We know exactly what's going on. We know exactly what we're doing and everything's kind of laid out on a gold pathway in front of us. And that's couldn't be further from the truth. And I think also that we followed our natural curiosity to understand, okay, how did this person end up here? Or what were the key parts of their journey? And maybe that inspires us or can help one of the listeners as well.
Yeah, very good. I believe for me during the year, it was a bit of a hard labor at the beginning, trying to convince the people that attended or spoke at the Irene Business Network to also come on the podcast and to talk about it and punted it a bit as marketing for the event. And then you did the same on your side. And then we had our discussions together. But I think the momentum really shifted when we got people to come to us, where people came to say, listen, I want to be on it. And they started approaching. And I realized that it's almost natural. It's people want to talk about what they do. They believe they can add value. Obviously, it's a bit of marketing for their brand as well. But I think that made me realize that this thing could be a bit bigger than just talking about what's coming up in the next event and so on. I want to quickly move to the right place. So you've mentioned it in your discussion just now, but the name was obviously something that we've worked on, and I think you eventually landed that. But we always end, or I always end every recording almost with, are you in your right place? And what has been your perception or what is your conclusion from the generic answer almost? What do people say when they answer that question in terms of, are you in your right place?
I think I would say the majority of people have said they are in their right place, but they know that it's not necessarily their final right place or the place that they'll be in 10 years' time. But for now, the journey that they've had has led them to this place, and they're comfortable in it, or they are embracing it, or they feel that they are adding a lot of value. I believe your right place is at the intersection between the roles that you play in society, the relationships that you have, and also the environment in which you operate. If you're comfortable with those three things, then you're pretty much in your right place. You might not be a billionaire, but you might be happy that this is a good season to be in. I'm learning a lot. I'm growing. I'm making money, or I'm building a business in this space. And I think that's been a good takeaway for me, that it is not just about making money, or it's not just about you're the CEO. It's a combination of things that contribute to that. And I think that's been something that maybe the listeners have taken away, that it's not just about the nice house or the nice job or 50,000 followers on LinkedIn. And yourself, what do you think has contributed to the right place?
I think you've summed it up very well. I've only had one person saying no, but the no was actually also a yes at the same time. So everyone comes back and says, yes, I'm at the right place, but I'm not at the final destination. I'm still moving towards it. And every step I take is into moving to that final right place where I want to be. So it's a learning curve. It's a growth path. I'm continuing it with it as I go along and building on the foundation that I do have. The no, interestingly, was no, I'm not at the right place because I'm going to that final right place of mine. So it's actually exactly the same answer, just with a different start. But yeah, that to me as well is what it's about, is learning while you are having fun, or learning while you are in a place where you believe you should be at the moment, but it can never be the final product, because we can always improve ourselves as human beings. We can always improve in our work, And I think that to me is the growth that you want to show over a period of time, that you don't stagnate in a specific place, but you need to impact and you need to make a difference. You need to be present where you are at the moment, and thus you are in the right place if you can get that right.
No, I agree with you. I think it is a journey, it's a process, and it's also not necessarily something that is the same for everyone. There isn't a time limit. There isn't a schedule where certain things are going to happen. Life happens and you take opportunities or you say no to certain or other opportunities. But that timing and your journey is your own journey. Just because someone did it in 5 years doesn't mean you also have to do it in 5 years. Yours might be shorter, it might be longer, it might have a couple of other twists and turns. And I think people need to appreciate that you're on your own journey. And I think the right place it's also a mindset. It's also it should be informing your decisions on a daily basis. Is this contributing to my journey to my right place? Is this helpful? Is this useful? Am I just, like we've said, networking sideways, or am I leveling up? Am I growing into my role? Am I meeting the right people, starting the right relationships? So if you've got that front and center, I think that can inform you and you'll make better decisions about how you eventually end up at your right place.
I like the mindset part. I think the right place should be a state of mind. It shouldn't be a position in a work. It shouldn't be a building or a place where you're staying. It should be the way you approach life and be content with what you have, but never be that final product. Always grow, always strive for the next big thing and learn the lessons and take that with you. So if you think about this year, John, the Right Place podcast obviously got us into a lot of different rooms and different conversations and things that I for sure didn't expect always. But if you think about one of these events where someone randomly just walks up to you and like, "Oh, you're John from the Right Place," what goes through your mind when you hear that? And you're like, "I don't know this guy. I don't know who's talking to me, but they obviously have seen me." So what is your first thought when you just hear that?
I think it's humbling and satisfying at the same time. It's like, "Oh, wow, someone did watch it. If at least one person watched it, that or one person had a takeaway from it." And I think that's always positive. I mean, being here right at the southern tip of Africa, I mean, I don't think we're going to necessarily have ever the views of Joe Rogan and all these other massive, massive podcasts out there. But if we make a difference to one person, I mean, that can definitely make you feel good inside. I think what happened recently at the Suits and Sneakers event, it was like you almost have that, am I a celebrity? Am I now super famous with a couple of hundred subscribers? Although, I mean, obviously not, but I mean, it gives you a small window on that. Obviously, we've talked to some people with much bigger followings than ourselves, but that's also cool to be associated with those people or to have access to those people, because people see that you're not scared to talk to people in higher places. And I think that's also part of it, because we've definitely leveled up this year. I mean, connected with the Lacquer Network and Suits and Sneakers and other events that we've attended. It's good. It's good to be visible. It's good to be comfortable. I mean, we're both not these massive, loud extroverts, yet we've had a podcast for the last year and people see hundreds of videos of us on YouTube or listening on Spotify or Apple. So I think it's satisfying. Obviously your own kids keep you grounded. I mean, they're watching these mega stars on YouTube with millions of followers. So you'll never be as big as Mr. Beast or Dude Perfect or those guys, but, at least you're on YouTube as well with them. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a non-compete. We can't, but that's not the aim. I agree with the impact part. I think that I've also been approached by one or two people that I've never seen before, don't know about, and like, "Oh, you're Rudolph from that podcast." I'm like, "Who are you?" And And the first thing that comes into my mind is like, oh my word, people are actually watching it. It's like, yeah, scary to some extent, but also the little nuggets that they come back with that I've already forgotten about, something that they heard, not necessarily from me or you, but from the guest on the podcast, and they cling to it. It's like, oh, that guy said this. And I have to go back and go and re-listen to it because I'm like, oh, I remember the discussion, but I can't remember that. So let me go and listen to it again. And then I realize, but there's so many small little nuggets of value here. I always talk about a gold nugget that you can just take and you can write some content around it. You can actually transform the way you think about certain things just by listening to what other people have to say. And if you can implement one thing from each discussion or every episode, then you gradually improve. And I think that is the big thing about a podcast, not just ours, but other podcasts, is that you listen to it because you want to learn. And I think that has been key for me in this year as well, is that I've learned a lot of new things. I've learned a lot of technical things as well in terms of the editing and all of those things. And we continuously try and improve, but it helps me to build from a foundation or build something that is improving all the time and that you don't have to restart. And it's for free. It's free lessons that we get from people with influence, people that have a career behind them or they've built something already, and we can just tap into that knowledge. And I think that has been fantastic, just getting to know people that in our view made it and that are still building on that contributions that they're making to society.
No, absolutely. I have fond memories of talking to guests, and then you do the podcast, and then it might come out in a month or two or a couple of weeks time. And then you'll see some of the shorts as we do on YouTube or on LinkedIn. And you're like, oh, yeah, you said that thing or she said that. That was actually amazing. And what I've been doing is, I mean, I try and listen to our podcasts on Apple afterwards. So the YouTube will go out and in that week I'll listen to it. I won't watch it. I'll listen to it in the car driving around with the kids or whatever. And that just refreshes my mind of the topic or it's something that I haven't listened to in entirety because you did the interview. Like the recent one with Ryan was fascinating. I mean, here's a guy started a completely different, very specific niche-based networking event. And it was a fascinating discussion to hear how they went about it and that. And that was really cool. So I mean, even us get a lot of value out of it months later. And the one that I'm still referencing quite a lot is talking to Helen Nicholson on her book, Networking for Introverts. That was such a deep dive that we did there. And I mean, that could have also been a 2-hour discussion on that. But I mean, she had the book, which was excellent. We read the book, spoke to her. You then met her at the launch as well. And that was just a wonderful opportunity just to learn from her, but also to broadcast that wider for people that are struggling with networking or are very cynical about it or not too sure even where to start. So, that's been pretty cool. Are there any other stories that stand out for you?
Yes, John, there's so many different conversations and different topics that we've had, but I want to quickly reference one, the discussion I had with Jock Fall from the CEO of the Titans Cricket Union. So obviously I'm a big cricket fan, so it might be a bit biased, but I was extremely surprised. I've had a discussion with him a few times in my life already, but I was so surprised almost, and it's the wrong word to use, but his deep knowledge of running a business. And I always think about sport as a hobby. But that is a big business these days. And that knowledge, the things that he shared and the way they approach things and his humbleness as well, the way he spoke about the team the whole time and how he positioned them. And he's actually just the puppet master there, but he doesn't see, can you credit? But I think that conversation to me was one of the ones that I enjoyed most, because I was utterly surprised by how deep his knowledge goes into different aspects of the environment that he's in. And it's just a copy and paste almost into a normal business, because it's still a business. And I'm not surprised, because he's a very intellectual, clever guy. He's got a doctorate. He's got master's degrees, two of them. So he's a clever guy. So it's not like I underestimated that. I was just so surprised as to how wide and deep his knowledge goes. And I sat in awe listening to the discussions. I think that's the one that I've listened to the most. And then, obviously my love for cricket also helped, that it was an easy conversation to have, because just because I like the game as well. But yeah, there's a lot out of every episode. I can take something home with me that I'm like, yeah, this was good. This is something that I need to go and work on, or that I can do. And it's not something that I take lightly. There's a lot of prep work that goes into an episode just to get yourself into that person's shoes, understand what he's about, and so on, so that you can pivot. You don't want to read questions of a script. So you want to be able to fall back on knowledge that you know about this person. So there's a lot of prep work that goes into it. But when you're having that conversation with someone, you're actually in a position to learn something new every time, because you've got this expectation, and it never goes into the direction that you think this expectation will be. So there's always this spin-off question or things that interest you, and you want to go deeper into that. And that's part of what I like most. It's an easier conversation with some people, but it's also something that you have to prepare for. Maybe just on that is, we're talking about the podcast and our year that we've had, but that goes into any conversation. If I know that I'm going to an event, and let's take Suits and Sneakers, Mark Shams running it, I know I'm going to see him there. I need to be prepared for that. I'm going to see him. I don't want to walk up to him and like sound like a complete idiot. Have something that you have top of mind. Listen, congratulate him with a good event that's coming. Inspire him, motivate him a bit, and just calm his nerves maybe. But also know which speakers. Ask him one or two quick questions that are relevant to the person, and you'll get a conversation going. But to just walk up to a person and start with, like you always talk about, start with your backstory, it makes no sense. It doesn't add value to the conversation or to him. So have, do your research, plan for a conversation, because you know you're going to have it. And if you meet someone else, unfortunately, that's a brand new conversation. So be ready for that as well. But there are people that you can prepare for. And the podcast is not just a, something that you busk, that you just do on an instant. You have to be prepared for the conversation. And if we do that in general life as well, your conversations will go a lot better.
No, I agree with you, Rudolph. I think the podcast has helped us structure conversations better, know how to start and stop and end and just let it flow or bring it back to the questions. And I think that translates to in-person networking events as well. I mean, at the events that we run, we don't have half an hour to talk to someone. There's 50 other people that want to talk to you or say something or check in with you. So you need to be in and out very quickly. And I think the same at a networking event. If you're a shy person, and networking events overwhelm you, have a plan, have a structure. Right. Say, I've got, the example I always use is the power of one. Have one story that you can share about something that went right, even if it's a small little victory. Have one positive thing to say, and then have one other thing that you need help with. Like, I need a web designer. Do you know someone I can connect with? Or something like that. So don't have this whole deer in the headlights. You get in front of someone and then you just start blabbing and you don't know how to end the story and you don't know where you're going and people start walking away and everything like that. Just keep it short and sharp, and then ask curious questions. questions. Ask, what are you excited about? Or what are you doing in the holidays? People like talking about that stuff, that positive stuff. No need to complain about the government or sport or something that's gone massively wrong in the world. And I think listening to podcasts and hearing how people answer questions, learning how people ask questions, learning how they phrase things, how to do the back and forth, that's helpful because that gives you some insight into, okay, I can maybe try that next time. Or that's a good question. I'm going to put that as part of my repertoire when I'm at an event next.
For sure. So we spoke a lot about the past now. I want to quickly go into John Watson as a person. And I've done that earlier in the year as well. So you were here, you stayed with me with the Suits and Sneakers event. And that week we did a nonprofit conference. Two parts maybe to my question. First one is, I do know that you are quite involved in the paddle scene. So I want to hear a little bit about what's going on in that environment. What's your plans? What are you guys doing? And then the second question is, if you look at the things that you have done throughout this year and the things that you are implementing, those products that you are building behind it, what motivates you almost to continue with that? The paddle part I know about, but you also do keynotes and other type of things, a networking event. What drives you in that direction, maybe?
I think I'm going to answer the second question first because I saw a good quote on it yesterday. Is if you've got knowledge that you've built up over time and it's something that you know other people struggle with, you need to find a mechanism or a way to share that knowledge because people will pay you for it or they will value that insight. And knowing what I know now about being a quiet person and going from that to standing in front of events and being an MC or speaking about networking or whatever, there's been a journey there for me. And I want to help people with that journey. And that's what I'm putting together behind the scenes. And it's going to be a bit of a video series. It's probably going to end up in some sort of book or workbook at least. And I really want to help people because there's more people than we know that struggle with this. And people are desperate for connections. I think the whole AI explosion has made in-person connections even more valuable because you can sit behind a laptop and pound out AI generated this, that, and the other all day long. And that's going to get you so far, but you need to eventually start talking to other people. People buy from people. And if I can help people in any way like that, then I will. On the paddle side, it's really exciting working with Quinton Hughes and a couple of our other directors, part of the Dream Innovate group. Paddle is the fastest growing sport in the world by a mile. And we think it's going to explode in South Africa. So we're looking at a couple of different sites in the Western Cape and up north, northwest in Gauteng, where we've partnered with some very, very cool people. So my part of that is going to be connecting, building a community around the paddle courts and the different paddle sites, and then talking to sponsors, collaborators, partners, running events, and things like that. And that's something that I'm really excited about because the sky's the limit. Paddle days are becoming the new golf days. It is really a sport that absolutely anyone can play. No real fitness required. If you can hold a paddle bat and hit the ball over the net, then you can play paddle. So it's a really inclusive sport. It's a positive sport. It takes an hour to play. And yeah, I really, really think it's going to be a positive thing for South Africa and for schools and housing estates and golf courses as well. So yeah, really looking forward to getting our teeth stuck into it big time in 2025. And yourself, Rudolf, I know recently you've launched a blog post. Tell us maybe a little bit about the origin of that and what else is in the pipeline for Rudolf Rautenbach.
Good, John. We've been building quite a number of products over the last 2 years, but more in relation to the work that I do for a living in the BEE space and trying to get it cheaper, but also ticking all the right boxes and making an impact. And we're quite passionate about that. I think we growing steadily, not fast. And I I'm quite weary of growing too fast because I've been involved in business in the past that just grew so fast that it just pops open at some stage and it's chaos. So get your processes right, learn the lessons and scale it over a period of time. No need to rush into things. So happy with that. On the blog posting, it's an idea that I came up last year with and discussed it with one of my mates, Rian. He also does my marketing and so on some of the websites that we've got for the business and so on. And you've mentioned all the AI generated content, and I've realized that people don't know exactly what to ask. They don't know what to go into the question, how to structure the prompt almost towards the AI platforms that are available. And we've positioned an entry where people can just write the question or give a keyword, just a short message or a word even. And the back end of our software then would go and generate the content in a structure that would be SEO optimized and give you the ability to write a blog for your websites and so on. And we're currently busy with a phase four. You can't believe it. The first three phases were all before the launch because we had to structure the build of the software. But phase four is now a portion where we're looking at converting content into more social media related or social media effective content as well. So potentially for LinkedIn or Twitter or so on, or X these days. And just positioning it towards that. And it's something that I'm completely out of my depth in. I'm no developer. I know nothing about tech. I can add a blog post to a website if someone built the website already. But I'm not a programmer or nothing. So I've learned a lot of lessons in this process. But it's also interesting to see how people react to it. Some people have a complete aversion. They don't want to touch something that is AI. And I understand that. I also don't like just using it as a copy and paste. But the ideation, the giving you ideas and giving you things that you can go and work with further, that is to me where the value sits. Because we are competing against the machine at the moment. And it's about how you utilize that in your life, and not just take the content and paste it somewhere, because that adds no value to no one, but to use that content and work it, refine it, or just use it for new ideas. That to me adds a lot of value. And I do that myself. And you've mentioned earlier on this discussion that you use ChatGPT to give us some structure in terms of questions that we might discuss today. So I think there's a lot of value in that, and it's the way the world works at the moment. And maybe I've just climbed onto the bandwagon with Rian a little bit, but it's a side hustle, if you will, but it also gives you the opportunity to create content in a very structured way that I think in the longer term would become part of life, unfortunately. Moving from that, John, so that's what we're busy with. But for the podcast, What does 2025 look like for you? I think this is going to be our last episode for the year. So we stranded on 49, not out. So we're going for the 50 in next year. But what is it that you're looking forward to, and what are we changing for next year from your perspective?
I think I'm really, really, really looking forward to 2025. I think we've been doing the coaching course with Darren Lee, which has been really, really helpful. Not just on the podcast side, but also the back end side, the office side, the business side, and all of that. And unfortunately, it's not a full time thing for us. So I'd love to implement everything like that. But I mean, we've both got our pretty much full time jobs as well. But there's definitely been a lot of lessons from that we want to implement. And I think we've got a fresh logo coming in 2025, which is cool. A bit of an evolution from the current. From the current logo, so that's going to be a bit of a visual change. And I think we're also going to be swapping to some in-person interviews. I know you've got some lined up already, which is exciting. I'm going to firm up my venue here in Cape Town, and we'll make that happen. And then we're going to be talking to people around the world. So we've spoken to a lot of South Africans, which is really cool. You and I are both connected with the Suit of Sneakers team and now joining the Lacquer Network as well. And yeah, we're gonna reach out to some really interesting people on that front as well. And I think that's where we're gonna learn even more. And we're gonna connect with South Africans and international people around the world. So I'm looking forward to that. It's not like we've run out of people in South Africa to talk to, but I mean, people are doing amazing things all around the world. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And yeah, obviously having our own chats in between as well, meeting up in person when you're in Cape Town or I'm in Pretoria. So I'm looking forward to that. I think it's been a worthwhile journey. Like I said, I can't imagine my life without it. It gives you something to look forward to every Tuesday. And yeah, I think we've still got a lot to learn. And yourself, Rudolf, what do you think's about 2025?
Yeah, the 2025 as a year is always exciting, new, fresh ideas, and just that reset, putting you on a path of growth. So that's just to start off with. But more specifically to the podcast, I think the in studio, in person recordings will be challenging, but it would also give us a whole fresh new look and maybe a different dynamic in the conversation. So I'm looking forward to that, although it is a little bit daunting, just as a start. But I gather that from the experiences we've had this year, that growth would also help us to better ourselves and the way that we interact with people over a longer period of time. So excited about that. The guest as well. I mean, we've been so focused on syncing it with our own networking events, and I think that will continue. But the path that we were on this last maybe 5 or 6 months actually almost forced us into this place where we're going to meet people probably through the podcast. And I think the quality of guest, or the variation of guest rather, is something that I'm looking for as something positive, something of a growth for myself, but also giving people in our sphere of influence access to world-class business people, people out there that have done amazing things, that have done worked in big corporates, or they built billion-dollar businesses and not just brands anymore. So I think that is exciting, getting access to that bigger, broader network and people from different spheres of life that we've done this year. But I think the scale of it next year is something that I'm looking forward to, getting people into our networks, our sphere of influence, getting them access to that. And something that I'm definitely looking forward to. And as always, we'll learn on the job. We'll maybe by the middle of next year, the next new idea comes and we implement that as well. So I don't think it's ever cast in stone, because we always try and improve. My last comment maybe is on the work that we've done with Darren. And initially when you enrolled us into this masterclass series of his, I thought, okay, we're going to get some tips and tricks in terms of how to do podcasts. And yes, we did that, but the majority of the work and the things that I've learned was actually nothing to do with the podcast. It's about what do you do behind the scenes? And that to me has been very valuable, and things that I can implement in my own life and in my own business as well, and not necessarily so podcast specific. We've sat in some sessions where I listen to the guys that are talking, experts that he's brought on board as well. And it's things that I can implement every day in my entire being, my whole life. And I think there's so much that we can learn just by being part of a group or a network. And who you associate with, I think, is very important, because that sets you up for the next thing. And I think that's also what the podcast brought to me this year, that I'm looking for next year as well, is to learn from people that are absolute experts in their field.
No, I think it's been a crazy journey. I think I can't even imagine everything that we've learned this year. It's actually phenomenal. Just starting, just trying stuff, just reaching out to people, just seeing how it would go. I think that's where there's just so much learning available. And I think the beauty has been in the consistency. It's easy to do this. I mean, this is a hobby, you could say, the pod, but it's not a hobby that you just pick up every now and then and release an episode. There is a bit of structure to it. There's a mechanism behind it, and there's dates to fill and things to do and all of that. And I think that's where you learn how to manage your time. You learn what you need, what you don't need, what's important to focus on, how to write better. And that all contributes to every aspect of your business or the projects that you're working on. So it's not just putting a pod together, it's putting everything else around the pod together as well. And I think that's been really, really cool to learn that with you. And I mean, I'm very grateful for everyone that supported us, all the listeners. Some of our videos have done really well in a couple of thousand views. Some haven't done so well. Who knows how the YouTube algorithm actually works and how things work. But it's all been worth it. The whole thing as a package has been worth it. And to get to know each other better, to test some ideas and to learn from people, it's been wonderful. So I'm really grateful to all the support and the listeners and our super fans that are out there. And grateful for you, Rudolf, to do this with. It's much easier to collaborate on something like this than just rock and roll by yourself.
That's for sure. I think that you've always been the pilot, and I'm a little bit of a co-pilot and trying to drive my portions of it. But I think that it's something that I wouldn't have driven maybe on my own at all. And that accountability, but also the responsibility to each other to ensure that we do it in excellence, but we also continuously craft at it and work at it, and we make plans together. That has definitely helped. And I think the dependency on each other has come to a point where we know what to do. The parts that I enjoyed the most was just learning from other people. And I think the growth and that incremental growth is something that, I'm always also striving for in next year. And then, I think we'll share a little bit about the short videos that made a real impact on us and that we believe is value to people over this next 3 or so weeks while we don't have new episodes. And I think those type of things are things that always stay top of mind, and I can go back and listen to them every now and then. And that to me is the value that we get for ourselves and hopefully give to other people as well. And then, maybe to close off with, always thankful for people's feedback, but firstly thankful for people that just listen to it. You don't have to say anything. You don't have to do anything. You're just there, and it keeps it fun, makes it fun for us to actually do this, because we know that there are people that are looking at it and listening to it, and they get some value out of it. And we do appreciate that, and we appreciate the support. We also appreciate feedback. We also try and work with the feedback and try and do our best, but we make improvements based on it. And if we can connect you with someone or we can assist with that, we obviously try and do that as best we can as well. And then to you, John. Yeah, thanks for making me part of it. Thanks for the trust and the invite, and for always being cool about when things go wrong and putting all the effort in, the logos, a lot of the editing, the newsletter as well. We haven't even spoken about that. So a lot of hard work that you're carrying on your side to make this a success. And from my side, I appreciate that as well. And final words maybe from you, John.
No, thanks, Rudolf. No, I mean, it's a pleasure. It's been a fun journey. I've enjoyed it. We've created a bit of a machine here, and I really think next year is going to be the year to break through. We've got some cool ideas, and just grateful for people's support and encouragement. You'll only lose if you stop, and I don't think we've got any plans on stopping anytime soon. So while we're young, this side of 50, we're going to keep doing cool things, and just try and make it a little bit better every single time. So grateful for you and all of our support out there. Awesome.
Good. Then we'll see you all in 2025 right here on The Right Place.